Facebook group. I'm going to start the recording. Alrighty. Well, let me make it clear that this is not the first time this has come up, so don't think that this is kind of coming up in our coaching group, because I've worked with tens of thousands of clients for the last 14 years, as you know, hundreds of thousands of clients as far as building lists and dealing with customers and that, and tens of thousands as far as building businesses, meaning that people are in my sales organization or people in a network marketing business, et cetera, and have employed, probably 20 or 30 people in my career. Currently have 9 people working for us at a real change. And so had a team meeting this afternoon. Oh, boy, Kobe's got his squeaky toy, so I'm going to have to throw not him but the toy outside the door. And this issue of prosperity versus poverty is something that is it is a global tragedy. I do not believe it is an epidemic. The reason being is because, well, I guess you could call it an epidemic, because it is something that you've been infected with. It is not something you were born with. When you were born in your mother's womb, you brought with you some things that you could not change from the day of your birth, and some things that you could change. I'm going to get really into this topic of poverty versus prosperity, and I'll let you know that I'm excited about recording this, because I have never discussed this at the level I'm going to discuss it today. And so you get to be the first fruits of receiving this information. This is such an epidemic and a tragedy, because when you are born, there is an issue called generational issues that you bring with you from your mother's womb. They are imparted to you the moment conception begins, which, by the way, is when the sexual act took place. And these generational things include your DNA, they include your blood, they include all kinds of things biochemically, neurologically, etc. But even more profound than that, so write this down, the very first thing you want to write in your paper, you have inherited the belief systems, the values, the prejudices, the judgments of all of the generations in your bloodline that preceded you. And you know what? As I teach you on prosperity and poverty, I do not know how to teach it without teaching from the Bible. It is the book that will teach you how to be prosperous. But contrary to a bunch of idiots behind pulpits and on television shows and on stages who act like God is the local ATM machine and your big, you know, guru that you basically throw him a $10 offering and he's supposed to throw you a $100 one back, I hate to inform you if I'm the first one to do it. Actually, I'm grateful I'm informing you. That is a poverty mindset. When you speak of poverty, it is the sum result of being oppressed. It means to be in lack. It means to be held back. It means to be devalued. It means to be made low. That's what poverty is. And what I'm seeing with a lot of people who claim to be faith-based is that they are sleeping with this thing, poverty. They are eating with it, and they are bringing it to church with them. And they're bringing it into the marketplace, and it needs to cease. I'm going to give you a few clues that you can figure out Where are you? How did this happen? Some of you, it is going to be life-changing for you to realize that if you have a belief in you about money, about wealth, about the rich, about the poor, and you don't ever remember being trained with this belief, you don't ever remember being groomed with this belief, you don't ever remember being student taught, mentored with this belief, it's very possible that this belief came to you from your bloodline. And here's the great news. You only have the ability to inherit five generations that preceded you. Because that great success book that I solely 100% lean on says that the sins of the fathers come upon the children to the fifth generation. But hold on to your horse, man, when you hear what happens to the blessing and the faith of those who believe God. But his blessing and those who trust in God and those who believe what he said about money comes to a thousand generations. Hello? Whew. One of the things that I did when I got really, really serious about business, and some of you, this will be something you've heard before, and some of you, it'll be life-changing, is I went before my God and I said, God, I stand before you in the mighty name of Jesus, and I ask you to break and remove and tear down and make a cease and desist come to every lie, every vile belief, every wrong system of judgment, every prejudice that ever preceded me in seven generations ahead of me. And it's really interesting to me because, you see, I was raised in a home that grew up in Detroit, Michigan, where racism abounded, where poverty abounded, where workaholism abounded, where gossip abounded, where depression abounded, where oppression of women abounded. So when I share with you about poverty and prosperity and whether or not you deserve success, whether or not you're sabotaging yourself, whether or not you deserve to succeed or you've only been able to help others succeed, when I talk to you about being honest with yourself, removing the guarding and protecting and destroying the roots that have been in your generation and are showing up in your life, remember the stuff that I had to walk through to get to where I'm at today. That's why I'm excited, because this stuff isn't taught where it should be. And so it's my privilege to share with you. And some of you, by the end of the call, is going to be done. It's going to be gone. You're going to be set free. Some of you, it's going to take some journaling. Some of you, it's going to take some serious forgiveness. Some of you may need to get some counseling. There's nothing wrong with that. Good, godly, spiritual, prosperous counseling. Here's the deal. Your God said, I pray above all things that you would prosper and that you would be in good health even as your soul is prospering. Your soul is where that spirit man lives. Your soul is made alive because of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here's the wild thing. I have seen this in hundreds of thousands of people that I've worked with. I have never, ever, ever met somebody who's not impoverished and dealing with some form of anxiety, some form of depression, some form of apathy, some form of rejection. They're dealing with some sort of, remember I told you, I pray above all things you'd prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. There's always some health thing going on there. Spiritual health, emotional health, physical health. It's not a coincidence. Because here's the reality. It takes a lot out of your spirit and your body and your mind and your soul for you to carry rejection. It takes an awful lot out of your body, your mind, your soul for you to convince yourself and to live as though you do not deserve success. It takes an awful lot. It is a heavy, heavy burden for you to help someone else succeed, but to tell yourself you don't deserve to succeed. It's a heavy, heavy burden if you are judging the rich. Why is it a heavy burden? Because that's not how we were designed as human beings. That's not how, in the beginning of time, when God created us, that's not what he designed. That's not what he wanted. That's not how he made us. So it's a heavy, heavy, heavy burden to go contrary to that. The laws of physics, the laws of physiology, the laws of biology, all of the laws that exist that pertain to anything to do with you as a human being are going to be violated in some way if you hold yourself back and believe that you don't deserve success. One of the biggest epidemics that I see in business owners, that I see everywhere, is this issue of rejection. And as someone who personally was set free from that, I mean, you've heard my past, you know, gang raped and raised in a home that was really, really abusive and, you know, a ton of boyfriends and rejection from people in the church and that. It's interesting to me how rejection will gratify itself. Do you ever find yourself making commitments to something and then backing down at the last minute? That's a sign of rejection. Not a sign of lack of commitment. Why? Because people who respect themselves do not break commitments like that. Now, mind you, we all have situations where emergencies come up and we have to, you know, go against our word. I'm talking a habitual problem. The person who breaks the commitment and only says, I'm sorry, is dealing with rejection. The person who breaks the commitment and begins to beat themselves up is dealing with rejection. Here's how it manifests itself as a business owner. They take orders, and then they don't buy enough inventory. They put up a website, they start publishing, people start responding, and they stop. They get referrals, and then they mistreat the person who gave referrals. Why? Because they need to anticipate, and they need to bring rejection. The root of rejection will cry out for the fruit of rejection. Therefore, people who are dealing with rejection will many times unconsciously do many, many things that will manifest itself as rejection because they must be rejected, because inwardly at the core of who they are, they believe they deserve to be rejected. That's a deep, deep wound. The spirit of rejection will manifest itself in two different things. It'll manifest itself either as suicide or manifest itself as homicide, which means you will go bring harm to yourself or to somebody else. It may not get to the point of malice, such as murdering someone or killing yourself, but it could be malice such as harming your future, harming somebody else's future, having issues with entitlement, having massive issues with control, having to always be the alpha and the best, or always having to be the last. Rejection is a huge issue for the spirit of poverty. Quite frankly, anybody who's struggling with a deep root of rejection, really, it's impossible to build a business. Impossible. Because they will continually sabotage themselves. Not that I know of anybody who's necessarily in the class that I can think of who has it at that level, but it's interesting how it can wear a cloak. It can look like it's hugely successful. It can get to a certain level, and then it can do something so stupid. It destroys business relationships in the business future. I've done that. How do you think I know it? In my past, when I was a single mom, ran a cleaning business. As soon as my income would get really, really consistent and really, really good and my clients would really, really love me, I would pull back and not do a great job anymore. I would pull back and I'd be too busy. Or I would call them at all hours of the day or night and cancel appointments because I was depressed and wasn't feeling well. I didn't realize, and this was in my 20s, that I was dealing with massive rejection. And I was dealing with a need to reject myself and to have myself rejected. The issue of do I deserve success Let me ask you this question. If God says that we deserve to success, then obviously something's broken if we believe we don't deserve success. Usually the person who's dealing with the issue that I don't deserve success is someone who's dealt with some kind of abuse, or they can't forgive someone, or they have a hard time forgiving themselves for something huge. When I was a young woman in my early 20s, 19 or 20, I regret this and have gone through much healing for this, and I thank God that he has me at the position now that I can counsel and minister to women through this, and even the men who have partook in this kind of thing. But I had an abortion after that horrific gang rape because I did get pregnant. I had a horrific gang rape, and then I went to get on stage about a month later in a national championship of bodybuilding. And it was the oddest thing. I couldn't get as lean as I usually did. I couldn't get as ripped as I usually did. And I discovered why 4 weeks after the competition, when a positive pregnancy test came up. I have been able, because of the grace of God, to minister, counsel, walk through forgiveness, and help many, many women to forgive their perpetrators and not abort the babies of a rape. This is the kind of God I serve. Where he's taken my pain and my mistake and my regret and used it for me to help someone else. But for the longest time, even after all of that, even after I was a mommy, even after I was married and had my own children, there was this underlying current that said very softly, periodically, "You're a murderer. You're dirty. You don't deserve to be successful." And when I lost 3 babies to miscarriage, I figured that was God's judgment on me. And many, many other things that happened in my life. As a matter of fact, when you hear me tell my story of how sick I was, I thought that was because God was so mad at me for what I had done to that child. I didn't understand the absolute 100% complete total forgiveness that God had given me. He is the only one who has the ability and power and right to do that. I also didn't understand that when I get to heaven, that child who has a name will be waiting for me. I love that new book that I just read, Heaven is Real, by that 3.5-year-old who had an appendectomy and went to heaven. What 3.5-year-old would lie about that? We need to get that book. And it was just amazing to me to read that because I had named that baby Mark James. And he would be 29 years old, something like that. And it was really interesting because his mommy, the little boy when he was there, had lost a baby. And the baby was 7 years old in heaven. She had lost it 7 years before. And it was really cool because I went back to my journal on the day that I had worked through with my spiritual mom, naming those babies. And I'll never forget what happened. How that thing in me that said I didn't deserve a high level of success, I didn't deserve deep relationships with my husband, I didn't deserve to be a great mom, I didn't deserve to be a great leader, I didn't deserve to have massive amounts of money to give away, I didn't deserve big diamonds. I mean, I could go on and on for the next 7 hours and tell you what I didn't think I deserved. It began to leave. And it began to peel off like an onion. And then eventually it shattered off of me. And it left. And I stand before you today saying that I not only know I deserve to be successful, write this down because it applies to you as well. I not only deserve to be successful, I was designed to be successful. I was intricately woven in my mother's womb with specific DNA. With a specific human code inside of me. For each one of you and every one of my customers and every person that I will ever impact for as long as God allows me to have breath, I was intricately designed, wired, and put together to be successful. What I just said applies to each one of you. Now, what happens is we come into our mommy's womb and we don't do womb service and change the menu. We end up with, and you'll have to listen to all the things that were in my past. The judgments that existed in the home I grew up in, the torment, the prejudices. Being rich meant to me, like when my daddy ran his companies, then he had massive heart attack. And like my uncle, who like was one of the founding, my cousins, who was one of the founding dudes when Macintosh was in Radio Shack stores, and he died at a young age. I mean, to me, that's what wealth meant. Is it any small wonder I almost died? That tape has been changed, by the way. And that's exactly what happens. When we wonder if we deserve success, we have to really ask ourselves, and some of you, this is going to be painful. This is the kind of stuff that I'm telling you, I would lay on the floor of my office in the middle of the night when my family was sleeping and I was working through the healing that God was taking me to through for months. And I would journal the things that I was breaking through with. And even to this day, I've shared with you something. I had a judgment against a dude who does $1 million per seminar. Now I'm prepared to do $1 million seminars. And that's a nice big fat check to bring back to my king and provide for babies with. Thank you very much. I'm really glad I broke free from that. But I would lay on the floor of my office in the middle of the night so no one would ever hear me sobbing, and I would journal and I would write, who do I need to forgive? Whoever said I can't be successful? Who said I don't deserve to be treated well? Who said something was wrong with me? Did anybody see anything wrong about my body? Did somebody say something wrong about my brain? Did anybody say anything wrong about the way I talk? Did anybody see something wrong about the way that I look? And I had to go through these things months and months and months. And oh my gosh, it was really interesting because there was a time when I said to God, oh, holy cow, there's a lot in there. And I could see him celebrating with the angels, doing the happy dance, if you will, because he was getting me to the point where I was designed to be so that I could create $1 million business products for my clients, so that I could relate with all manner of people with all kinds of backgrounds. So that when someone has rejection syndrome and does something stupid and I trusted them and had placed a lot of confidence in them, I can forgive them. But I also know I won't work with them because obviously I know that will bring that into my business. I'm going to tell you what, if you are struggling with I don't deserve success, you'd better be really careful who you're hanging out with. You better be really careful who you hire as a VA. You better be really careful who you have as an assistant. You need to be really careful who you take counsel from. Because not only can you receive an impartation through before birth, spiritually, but my friends, we do spirit-to-spirit connections with other human beings. That's why social media is so powerful. Face-to-face is real, but you can have a spirit-to-spirit connection with the stuff you're reading off the internet. If you hang out with a ton of people who all believe they don't deserve success, but they're all trying to get over it, you will never get over it. You need to hang out with people who don't fear success. You need to hang out with people who know that they were designed for success. It's enormous, my friends. If you want to be a successful business owner, to get some new friends. Now, I'm going to tell you something extremely personal that will be disclosed in my book, Read the Mind Book Tour, that I have full permission to disclose. It is not a shaming thing. It is not a critical thing. Let me tell you what God is capable of. As he was breaking me free from all this, when he shattered the last remains of it, like a china bottle around me, and what you see today came free, I'm married to a man for 19 years who has struggled with a deep, deep, deep-seated root of judgments against the rich. As a matter of fact, we can't even tell his parents what I make or they will treat me with disdain. Judgments against people of different color. Oh, I can't tell you how many times I've wanted to adopt some chocolate babies just to spit on that belief system. I love my in-laws, but judgments like that make me not want to have self-control. That's what I'm going to say. And I have to realize it's the system and it's the belief and it's the spirit that has oppressed them. They were raised as well by this, and they were groomed in the Depression and deep roots. Why am I telling you all this? Because my husband and I are still married. My husband's going to work with my company. All I know to say to you is look what God has done. And when I worked more on myself than I worked on my husband, when I invested more into my future than I did on my husband's future and what he needed to fix so that he could be a better business owner for me, I became what God wanted me to be. I came out of my closet, is what I tell everybody. And here's the thing that happened to me. I started having this thing in me that said, listen, I have hid behind all that God designed me to be. I have oppressed and suppressed and nursed and breastfed and slept with these dang belief systems my whole entire life. And it has rotted my bones, caused my stomach to bleed, caused my esophagus to get cancerous erosions, nearly killed me. And here's where I got to. Do you think for one freaking minute I'm going to hide behind that anymore when he has literally raised me from the dead and healed me? Hell no. Hell no. Because he deserves a better representation of himself on the earth. And it was wild because I would respectfully but with passion say to my husband, listen, I need to become what he has designed me to become. And if that threatens you, you have to fix that, not me. I can't fix it. You have to fix it. And God has done miraculous things. So you have to be careful who you're hanging out with in this issue with, do I deserve success? The other thing, what do rich people mean to you? Write this down. What do rich people mean to you? What does it mean to be rich? What does it mean when you refer to somebody who's rich? It's so interesting to me. Every now and then I see this thing flitter itself up, and I hear people say something like this. Well, that company, they got deep pockets. I was talking to a million-dollar business owner, and she was telling me why she wanted to work with these specific people because they had deep pockets. And I thought, oh, my God, she's got judgments against the rich. You cannot refer to anyone as having deep pockets unless you have judgments against the rich. She's also allowed this kind of stuff to come out of her mouth. Well, you know, us minorities, it's really difficult for us minorities because it can be really a struggle for us minorities. Because you know what? Us minorities, man, we got to work 10 times harder. And I thought, oh, my God, she's come from a bloodline of racial prejudice. She literally believes that because of the color of her skin, it's harder for her to be successful. No, it's not. That's a belief system. Go look in Forbes magazine. You've got people from all different kinds of color of their skin. For crying out loud, I'm interviewing an Asian American guy, Kawasaki, next Monday. I don't have this in print, but it is my belief that he is a billionaire. I believe that. He's speaking on our call. That would never happen, my friends, if I had judgments against the rich. I have judgments of certain ways of making money, and my God is faithful, and he's helping me peel that back. But I have to tell you, 6 billionaires have come into my life in the last 2 years. That would not happen if I had referred to them as people with deep pockets. No, they're not people with deep pockets, for crying out loud. They're just people with a bigger brain, and I want some of it. That's how you refer to people who are extremely wealthy. They're very, very smart. You might not like them. I don't care for Donald Trump. Somebody told me I should be on Celebrity's Apprentice. I was like, oh, my God. First thing I'd have to do is wipe his makeup off. Some of you just bust out laughing through your tears. What do rich people mean to you? How do you refer to people who that you say are rich or you believe are wealthy? You have to write it down. How do your parents, how do your grandparents? The people that I have been around equated people who are wealthy as people who do things illegal, as people who do things to harm the poor, as people who do things to lie and cheat, or people who get ahead because it's handed to them. Let me tell you what, man, I did not build the companies I built because it was handed to me. Sometimes I feel like I went to hell and back 5 times on a road trip to get there. Some of you can relate. But these things were spoken as I was growing up. Please pay very close attention. Whatever you've heard anyone say around you about the wealthy, about the rich, about people with tons of money, if you go and make more money than you ever believed you were capable of making, you will have put yourself in that category they were referring to. And you will sabotage yourself because you don't want to be referred to as they were referring to those rich people. Somebody just got a breakthrough. So what you have to do is you have to go back and forgive. You have to write it in your journal. Write that I forgive you for saying this about so-and-so. I forgive you about saying this about so-and-so. I had an aunt who owned condominiums all over Hawaii and had been hugely successful when California first started its boom. She was the aunt that my dad always went through for capital for businesses. And I'll never forget, as a young girl, looking at her 12-carat emerald diamond ring. Somebody go with me to Google and type in 12-carat diamond ring. Look at the size of a 12-carat. As a matter of fact, one of the first rings on Google is Ivana Trump's hand, Melania Trump, and it is a 12-carat ring that was $400,000, and it's a square one that's an emerald cut. Well, what's interesting is as I was growing up, my aunt had one of those. She had a 9-carat emerald stone as well. And I remember at a very young age thinking, I want to own a multi-million-dollar company because I want a 12-carat diamond ring. But behind closed doors, and when my aunt wasn't there, my parents sometimes acted like my aunt had things handed to her. My parents acted like things were just given to her, like on a red carpet, like she was just a genie and whoo, you know, you've heard people say, everything you touch turns to gold. That is such a lie. That's somebody who has judgments against the wealthy. Because that's not the case. The more money you make, the easier it is to make money. Just like the more impoverished you are, the easier it is to stay poor. The more you nurse rejection syndrome, the easier it is to gratify it. The more you sabotage yourself, the easier it is to sabotage yourself. As a matter of fact, you'll do it without even thinking. The more that you've rehearsed and promised and memorized that you don't deserve success, trust me, you will be convinced you don't deserve success. Pay very close attention to what you've heard or what you've said about the rich. Because if you are going to become wealthy, you're going to have to cancel that and forgive that. Maybe you have to forgive yourself. Because there's no way you're going to let yourself become wealthy if that's the kind of judgments you've had against the wealthy. Do you sabotage yourself? What does success mean to you? Success meant to me rejection. Isn't that interesting? Grew up with massive rejection in order to be hugely successful. As a matter of fact, the more money I made, the more rejected I got. The more isolated I felt, the more I felt like people weren't going to treat me properly. The more I felt like people looked at me like I was one of those that my parents referred to. Like I was one of those people they referred to. was not a fun thing, especially when I didn't have any mentoring, especially when I didn't have any coaching. No small wonder I built a hugely successful company and I nearly died. No small wonder at all. No small wonder I built a hugely successful company and got myself into massive debt. Our companies are debt-free. Debt-free. As a matter of fact, our company has plenty of money to operate with expenses for quite a long time without any sales coming in. Debt-free companies. Sabotaging yourself. What are you doing to sabotage yourself? And number two, what do you believe others would do if you made $1 million? Maybe that's too big for you and it's way out of something you could even think of. I want you to shut your eyes. And I want you to imagine, visualize, ask God to help you see that you log into your online bank account and there's $150,000 and some odd cents in your checking or your savings. Whatever you just felt, write it down. Some of you need to go and forgive someone whatever you just felt. Some of you felt some enormous pain. Some of you, $150,000 isn't enough. You might need to imagine seeing $500,000, because some of you, $150,000 wouldn't be a big deal. Some of you, what if you looked in your checking account and you saw $28,419.72? What does that mean? Write it down. This issue of helping others succeed but not yourself actually can be rooted in a judgment against the rich and a judgment against yourself. Because if you believe that only a select few deserve to be hugely successful, and that is not you, you will, in a very resentful way, sabotage yourself and allow yourself to not be successful, but you will help others be successful. But here's the other side of the coin. Some of you are designed to serve and to be hugely successful serving. And some of you have to get past your judgments in order for you to be able to be equipped to serve. Some of you are actually dealing with a huge spirit of rebellion that says, I need to be successful and I'll run a company of my own and I'll create this corporation that revolves around me and I will be the number one worker and I won't help somebody else create a $100 million company because that would mean I'm helping others succeed and not myself. Not necessarily so. One of the best ways to qualify to run your own company is in helping someone else succeed. But some of you won't allow yourself to succeed. You'll actually stay impoverished and give everything away. You'll stay impoverished and not charge what you should. Then there's others of you who will overcharge in ridiculum without any track record, without any experience, and your problem is you're not willing to wait to be humble enough to wait, to be able to step into promotion. Both of those things are rooted in leading you to be poor. Because there are some people who have a spirit of rebellion and they want to get to success huge and fast and they don't think, you know, they look at what I've done in 14 years and they think they should be able to get it in 6 months. Interesting. Let me tell you what, I don't think that when I look at Guy Kawasaki. No, I don't think I'm entitled or I should be able to or I can. Nothing's impossible. I can become a billionaire in 6 months. That's retarded. That's totally ridiculous. That's the spirit of rebellion. We have to, in order to be prosperous, we must be honest with ourselves. We must be honest with where our skill set is. And if your skill set's lacking, get some training. If your skill set's lacking, you have to pay the time. Do the time. Do the work. Do the exercise. Do what it takes to get there. It's the wildest thing because one day you will wake up and you will wonder how you got there. And you will realize, oh my gosh, how did I get here? That happens, my friend, when your focus is not on constantly getting there. That's why I said earlier on my Facebook and Twitter today, quit focusing on how much money you want to make. What do you want your life to look like? When I have the whole afternoon off like I did today, And I spend it with my boys, and we do some fun things together, and I get to do a bunch of reading and stuff. That's the kind of life I wanted. That's the kind of life I created for myself. That did not happen by some accident. That did not happen by some gift. That did not happen because I'm blessed. Yes, I am blessed. And I used the gifts and talents that God gave me to make sure that I made sure what it meant more to me to be able to work hard some days and to have days of play other days. Meaning that if I'm going to stay up last night after a 14 and a half hour day, I only have this call and another half hour call. That's it, all day. I got a full day tomorrow and a full day Thursday and a half day on Friday. That's the kind of life I wanted. I didn't want to work my brains out and wake up one day and think I'm going to be wealthy. I did that once before, and I woke up one day and was told I had a year to live. We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to stop guarding ourselves. Stop feeling sorry for ourselves. Stop protecting ourselves. Stop expecting everybody to give us a break, but we're going to build a successful business. Stop asking everybody for payment plans, but we're going to build a successful company where all of our customers pay for things. No, they won't. When people ask me for special arrangements, I'm always really, really, really from my heart wanting to do it. And then I'm thinking, dang, Sandy, you're going to enable their poverty. Go make special arrangements for them, and they'll get 100,000 clients who want to have a special arrangements, and they'll be broke. They'll go bankrupt. When I see people do silly things and cancel appointments and not follow through, and I give them work and they're not faithful, I sit here and I think, if you give them this extension, Sandy, and it's no big deal, I know what your past is, I know what you came from, you are enabling their poverty. That doesn't mean I rebuke or I act like an idiot or I want to act like an alpha monster. Most of the time when somebody did something wrong, they don't need anybody else to tell them what it was. They already know. And trust me, they could write a book on excuses. But you see, what happens is that we enable each other. We have to be really careful with that. Every time you think here's what you have to do. You have to write down, what are the excuses you're telling yourself? What are the things that you believe are hindering you from success? Let me tell you some of the things that can hinder your success. Not being honest with your skill set. Thinking that you're going to be God's next big Bill Gates and you've never even made $100 online. Get real. How about making $100,000 first? That would be great. Because, by the way, in order to get where Bill Gates is, you got to make $100,000 first. See, the thing is that people read these stories and they read these success stories, and people would hear that I made $250,000 in my first couple years or whatever, and they hear all, you know, called all these leads and everybody said no, and then I had a 90% closing ratio. And then they didn't hear the part of all how sick I was and how I had gone into the ICU and I was bleeding out of both ends and was given a year to live and all the trauma I dealt with and all the times that when my family was sleeping, I was laying on the floor, bawling my eyes out, begging God to deliver me from the things that were holding me back. They have no idea the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of hours that I have read the book of the Word of the Living God, the Bible. They have no idea the tens of thousands of hours that I've listened to CDs and DVDs. They have no idea the things I've had to forgive. They have no idea how much I've had to forgive myself for. They have no idea. And so then basically, we enable people sometimes with these big old testimonial parade shows. I realize that it's important to give people a testimonial, but for crying out loud, we need to quit acting like people are these one-top wonder and it happened overnight. No, it didn't. But I'll tell you what, it happened a whole lot faster than getting a college degree and going to work. Waking up one day and realizing you're 52 and you never spend any time with your kids. It is faster than what the typical person's doing. If you really want to get a good understanding of prosperity, you will walk, not run, and get the copy of the book, Thou Shall Prosper, by Rabbi Daniel Lapin, L-A-P-I-N. I highly recommend, if you are very serious about breaking this thing off of you and leaving it to die in the ashes and never populate your grandbabies, don't even just get the book. Get the unabridged audiobook off to iTunes and listen to it. My friends, in order to go from an impoverished mindset to a prosperous mindset, we have to make a decision. That's how. And when we make that decision, you mark my words, all hell is going to come against that decision. But you, my friends, are not failures. God didn't create you to fail. God didn't create you to fall and never get back up. He didn't create you to be perfect and never err. He created you to be in relationship with him and to live this life and to be the champion that he designed you to be. And that's a journey. And if nobody's ever told you personally, you not only deserve success, you were designed for success. You were designed for it. You were knit in your mother's womb to be successful. And in that book, Thou Shall Prosper, you're going to understand that your success really has very little to do with you. It has a lot to do with what he wants to do in the earth and the lives of other people. You just get to be a fun partner. You get to be a fun partner in it all. So I am going to open the lines. If you have anything I can help you with. Oh, there's something I want to talk to you about real quick. Some of you know that I build a very obviously spiritually based business. Something that you might not know is that I do not recommend you ever try to build such a business without proper prayer support. Something you need to put in your business plan is something that is called an intercessor. If you don't know what that is, you might want to go look that up. Let me see what comes up when you type that in Google to make sure that it's saying what it is actually it does. And Wikipedia says intercession is the act of interceding, intervening, or mediating between two parties. It is a prayer to God on behalf of the others. Something that you need in your business is people that you know who will pray for you. People that you know who will commit to pray for you, say maybe an hour a day. Pray for you, pray for your business, pray for your finances, pray for your family. I personally pray for you. I personally pray for your family. I pray for your business. I pray for your finances. But something that you're going to want to do is make sure that you have people praying for you. It's a really good idea to find those people, and I'll tell you how you find them. You don't ask. You don't look. You ask God to send them. Just say, God, I need some intercessors. Would you please send me some? Watch what happens. Some of you, some of the work that you may want to do might create undue pressure or opposition if you do not have intercessors. Not a good idea. If you want earth-shaking, kingdom-moving, prospering type business, you're going to need some intercessors. They're kind of like your linebackers. They're those people who in the military stand at the front of the line and protect the others. You're going to need some intercessors. The other thing is I highly recommend that you don't build your business thinking you're going to prosper without praying. I realize that you have full choice. God gave you that choice to believe however you want. He's not a communist. He's not going to force you how to believe. I only know what I have experienced, and I would highly recommend that you check him out because he is worth checking out. So if you have any kind of questions or anything I can help you with, go ahead and hit *2, and I will help. Tamara, how can I help?
Hi, Sandy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I was wondering if you would just take a look at my website and give me just a little bit of feedback. I've been, you know, going through your program and trying to put things together, but, you know, trying to get things perfect, I guess.
And have you gone through the entire WordPress course?
Yes, a couple of times.
Okay. Okay. And what is your website?
It's profitwithmobilemedia.com.
And this is the site that you built?
Yeah.
Okay. And I can't usually obviously do this at the gold level with everybody, but I can give you, we actually have it scheduled in April where I'll be doing this a couple times.
Okay. I had emailed Amity and just said, you know, can she just give me like a first impression or a couple of...
Yeah, I like your
like
headline
a lot.
I like your headline a lot, and I like your do you want those results now. I like that awesome. The only thing is that what you want to do with your headline is make sure that you don't get to the secret sauce too quickly. And okay. So instantly in the second paragraph you get to today your customers are mobile. Talk to me more specifically about why I need customers. Talk to me about what a business is like without customers. And then talk to me about the issue of mobile.
Okay.
The other thing is, and is this a network marketing company?
Yes.
Okay. What you'll want to make sure is to focus, decide whether to focus on just your product on the website and using it as a lead generation tool, mm-hmm. or do you want to focus on yourself, and that is something that you do on the side. Something that Angela Brooks did, and you've heard me talk about it many, many times, so I won't repeat the whole thing, mm-hmm. is that as soon as she focused more on her career as nursing and the stories that she tells in her life, and she added her product to that, she became the number one recruiter. When she mm-hmm. tried to only focus on the products, she couldn't sell a product for this to save her soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Well, I do have, we have something else that we're working on, and I kind of wanted to intertwine the two, but I wasn't really sure how or that I could even get customers mm-hmm. if I, you know, did the two. My husband and I purchased a home about a year ago that we want to turn into a small group retreat center.
Mm-hmm.
We're both licensed ministers. And I'm a registered nurse, and I do health coaching right now. So, but we also, in addition to the health coaching, we like to just do, I guess, kind of like life coaching, discipleship type of stuff, helping people overcome some difficulties in their life.
Mm-hmm,
and it's
mm-hmm.
something we've done for years. But I,
how come
you know,
don't
I'm
have
not
a
sure
blog
how that,
on that.
I'm working on that second. I started actually with the mobile media.
I would focus more on that just because that really is what you have experience in doing.
Yeah. I focus on this because right now our house needs a lot of things. We almost bought like a ready-to-go like bed and breakfast type of thing, but we opted for this house for less money and then to build into it. But I didn't really want to get a loan.
Right, but do you believe that the mobile media, which you don't have a whole lot of experience, is going to generate income for you? Instead of the thing that you've been doing for years and know like the back of your hand?
Well, I've heard you talk about this before. The mobile media, I kind of figured was something that, you know, is kind of, that's exciting too to me because I just, I've always been, had an entrepreneurial spirit and like
question.
That. But.
Answer the question. Do you believe that mobile media, which you don't know very well at all, is actually going to generate enough income for you and rather than talking about something that you know like the back of your hand?
I was hoping so. I don't know.
And you heard me, and you heard me, you said, I know you've talked about this. What did I talk
mm-hmm.
about?
About doing what you're passionate about.
That's called sabotage, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
So you've had a multimillionaire tell you what's going to help you be successful,
mm-hmm.
but you hoped that something that you don't have any experience in is going to help you create income when the very thing that you're passionate about is what you've been told that's how you make a lot of money. That's called sabotage. You have to find out where that root is, and
mm-hmm.
you have to remove it.
Okay.
Or you're going to be frustrated and just say home business is ridiculous, and I just believe God's called me to be broke.
Yeah. Well, this, you know, this sounded good and stuff, and it sounded like a lot of fun, you know, type of thing, but... You know, I guess I've got to try to figure out.
I don't think there's anything to figure out. What you are really good at,
mm-hmm.
and it is marketable because you've been doing it for years, is where you will make money.
Yeah, but I've always done it on a volunteer basis. Or,
well, that's
you know,
another
in,
route.
in church where you do it for mm-hmm. free.
Well, that's just ridiculous because I pay $150 an hour for a spiritual coach.
Mm.
You see the deliverance?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you give stuff away for free, people don't even care about it. That's why the whole church is sick.
Yeah.
Tell me how many people have a long track record. No, they go right back into their addictions because we give it away for free.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's one of the frustrating things about ministry is like you try mm-hmm. to guide people and they seem to be getting it and then they just go right back to where
they don't
want to
be
like,
well.
Yeah.
They don't want to be well. So imagine if you did charge for your coaching and you only had to work with people who want to be well. Wow, mm-hmm. that could be life-changing.
That would be nice.
Because there's plenty of them. There's plenty of them. And I was paying $150 an hour when I was $460,000 in debt.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I didn't get well, my family would be planning my funeral like I had planned before.
Mm-hmm.
So what you want to do is you want to do what you're really, really good at and charge for it and only work with the people who will pay it. And I didn't use the word afford it because that's a lie from the pit of hell. People
right.
say they can't afford training for business, and then they go spend money on QVC or Starbucks or whatever that makes them feel really good.
Mm-hmm.
While they've got massive addictions and they're fighting with their wife and they can't stand their kids.
Right.
So they're going to go to a free minister who's going to have mercy and compassion. It's never with an ugly motive. It's always with a good motive. And then it's just a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a couple other callers. I'm going to answer them, but something to think about.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Alrighty, Fargo, North Dakota, 701. How can I help?
Hey, Sandy, it's Mandy Anderson.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I have to thank you for everything you said today. Oh my gosh, God is really talking to me through you. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I've been doing a lot of thinking about adding, like doing autoresponders and virtual assistant and stuff like that to my website. Is it wise to put a page for that, even though that's not necessarily what my current site is about?
No, that would be a wrong linkage. If you're going to be a service provider, that you need to have a professional front. And go watch that video by Guy Kawasaki. That'll give you some breakthrough. You have to have
okay.
a professional presentation of what you do, because obviously you're going to be hiring businesses. The other thing is that if you want to write autoresponders, remember my autoresponder class where I talked about doing spec assignments and doing samples for people and starting on the bottom, you have to make
mm-hmm.
sure you get that track record. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
I mean, I've and it's not you, or I'm not thinking of anybody here, but I mean, I've seen people who, when they don't know what else to do, they think they're going to be a VA, and yet their whole website doesn't even work yet. And I'm thinking, good God, what a disingenuous business model.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I mean? So make sure whatever service you provide, you get really, really good at.
Okay.
The way to get really good at autoresponders, and that is to do some on spec assignment, to also write
okay.
your own, to also, you know, and I gave a lot of those on our class. I don't really want to talk about them here. On the
mm-hmm.
autoresponder class and where to market yourself. But I would not
mm-hmm.
link it to your whole physical journey and your health and spiritual health and your CD and none of that.